Good morning, everybody. Whether you're here gathered in our church building or out in the surrounding villages or even farther afield, it's really good to welcome you to our worship this morning. I'm not Martin. Most of you will know who I am, but in case you don't, I'm Liz, one of the elders at the Free Church here. Hope you've been enjoying being out and about a little bit more this week. I've enjoyed my stint at Cara Coffee. It was a bit warmer than last week, I was very pleased to note. So we're gradually feeling a little bit freer, I think, especially those of you who've had both jabs. So welcome back to the world. A few things on our notices, which I hope you saw before the service went live. We have our church meeting soon, and that will be on Zoom. The details will be in the link when the time comes for that. And also, really exciting, on Pentecost Sunday, which is May the 23rd, we're going to have a garden party, or to be more precise, two or possibly even three garden parties of groups in groups of 30 behind Cara Coffee. And I really hope it's going to be a nice day there. So look out for more details of that nearer the time. As we come to just start our worship and reflections this morning, just want to use some thoughts from the Northumbria community, which a lot of you I know are familiar with. I find their Celtic prayers really helpful. And a lot of what their community is based around is questions. And having just had Easter, I've been reflecting on two times when Jesus was asked virtually the same question in his darkest hour and probably the brightest hour, when he's in the garden surrounded by the olive trees, the soldiers come and he says, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "We're looking for Jesus." "I'm he," he says, and off they go to the trial and the crucifixion. But then there's that glorious scene, isn't there, in another garden on Easter morning, when Mary is bereft and she's weeping and distraught. And Jesus said to her, "Who is it you're looking for?" So whatever place you find yourself in this morning, if you're feeling really down, low and miserable, or whether you're feeling full of joy, who is it you're looking for? We hope that that person is Jesus. And we're just going to go through some liturgy now. And it's a call and response liturgy. It should be obvious on the screen which you're required to do. So I hope you'll feel free to join in, whether you're at home or in the building. "Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. One thing I have asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Who is it that you seek? We seek the Lord our God. Do you seek him with all your heart? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your soul? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your mind? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your strength? Amen. Christ, have mercy. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. The second of the big questions after who is it that you seek, that the Northumbria community focuses on, is how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And we are, aren't we, in strange land at the minute, in strange times. And the answer to that is by bearing each other's burdens, encouraging each other with songs and hymns. Well, we can't sing in our building at the minute, but we can share psalms together. And in a few minutes, when Charlotte leads our worship, she's going to be leading us in one of the songs, which is based on Psalm 62, which just speaks of God being our our rock and our fortress in all that the world throws at us. And then that final question is, how now should we live? And I like to think of that in the shape of a cross, with the vertical beam connecting us to God, but then that horizontal beam being the way we reach out to each other in our church fellowship and to others in our community as well. So we live by saying yes to God, to being available to Him and being available to others. But saying yes to being vulnerable to God and to others, not trying to hide, not trying to pretend things are okay when they're not, not trying to big ourselves up to look as if we're something we're not, but just being real before God and before others. Let's hand over to Charlotte now to lead us in our sung worship.
Good morning, everyone. Let's worship together.
Awesome. Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Hello there, everyone. It's good to be with you again today. You think so too. Good. And we hope you've had a good week and been able to enjoy some of the recent sunshine. Today, I have a question for you. What's that? Well, I wonder if you have ever lived anywhere different? Perhaps a different house or a different village or city? And maybe some of you have even lived in a different country. Some of you will have lived in lots of different places, and others may never have lived anywhere else or only moved location once or twice. And I wonder if the places that you have lived have been similar or different. You've lived in two places. They were very different. You lived in a forest in Borneo, and then you lived here with me. They are two very different places. You used to live in trees, and now you live in a house. It was always hot and often rainy. But now it's much colder most of the time. You used to eat only fruit and leaves and bark. But now you eat lots of different things. Especially cake. Yes. You're a bit like that bear. Which bear is that? The one in the film we watched. He came from darkest Peru and went to live in London. Oh, you mean Paddington. He came from the forest and went to live with people. Yes, he did. He lived in a very different place and in a very different way. Indeed, he did. When we move from one place to another, there are things that we can do to help us feel more comfortable with all the changes. So, Clive, what are some of the things that helped you to adapt to living in a different place? Things that helped you feel more comfortable? Everyone thinks you will say it's cake. But you're a bit like Paddington. You've found a sense of family, of belonging, of being loved. Aww. Do you know that as we begin to move out of lockdown, it may seem that we are living in a different place from the one we were 18 months ago? Since the pandemic, the way we have to do things has changed. Things at school have changed. Things at work have changed. And many of us are remaining working from home. What we're allowed to do and where we are allowed to go and who we are allowed to see has all changed. And keeps on changing. Yes. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it difficult to keep up with all the changes. But whatever changes we face, God doesn't change, and we can depend on him. He always loves us, and he always wants the best for us. So whatever changes we face in these days, we can rely on God to guide us into the way ahead. And as we make plans for the way forward, we must remember to include him in our planning. You're making a plan to get a new hat. Why is that? Paddington kept a marmalade sandwich under his hat. you could keep a piece of cake. Well, you could, but I don't think it would stay there very long before you ate it. But it's time for us to go now. And I hope that whatever changes are happening around you and whatever plans you are making for the future, that you will know that God loves you and that he goes with you. So for now, it's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from Clive. And we'll see you again. And be blessed.
Well, it's good to be here in the building and to be with you. And today we're thinking about how now should we live. And I'm just going to bring some reflections on that and a lot of questions. Clive asks a lot of questions. And today I'm going to ask you questions for you to ponder and to think about. I'm going to start by reading Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So how now should we live? I think we'll all agree that we've been on a bit of a journey since the start of the pandemic. It's probably not been a very pleasant journey or an easy journey, and I think it's fair to say that it's not a journey that any of us would have chosen. And I wonder if you can cast your minds back to 2019, before the pandemic. Before there was even a shadow of COVID looming over us anywhere in the world. And what was your life like then? What are the things that stick in your mind as being good about that time? About that seemingly long ago life where things were good? And were there things that were not so good? But now, looking back, they seem preferable to what you might be facing. So Clive and I have just talked about what it was like living in different places. And for many of us, that pre-COVID place that we inhabited was vastly different to the place that we now find ourselves as we begin to edge out into this post-COVID world. And in many ways, this place might look the same. But in many other ways, it's totally different and may remain so. And perhaps you have a longing to return to that pre-COVID age. Perhaps you just want to get everything back to the way it was, because that was a place that felt comfortable and familiar. But is that really what we want? Is it what God wants? In some ways, there can be no going back. We can't ever go back because this experience has changed us all in some way, and we've moved on to a new place, and the direction of travel is only forwards. There is no reverse. When I was a girl, one of my favourite poems was by Omar Khayyam. It was this. The moving finger writes, and having writ, moves on. Nor all thy piety nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all thy tears wash out a word of it. It's Persian wisdom, but it's very applicable. What's done is done, and it can't be undone. When Joseph was sold by his brothers as a slave into Egypt, the deed was done. There was no reversal. Even if his brothers had relented and chased after the slave traders and brought him back, that episode would have still happened and it would have changed them. But God turned the circumstances around and he used what seemed hopeless for good. When Jesus died on the cross, his followers thought it was the end of everything. But God turned it round, and through Jesus' death, we have forgiveness for sin. And through Jesus' resurrection, we have the opportunity for life, for new life, for eternal life. God turns things round and offers us all a new start. And this is what we're faced with now as we ease slowly and cautiously out of the pandemic. And we look around us to see what the landscape might look like in this new place. And maybe we like what we see, but maybe we are vastly disappointed that things don't seem to be as they were before, as we would like them to be. But this is the place that we're in, and we can't go back. So how shall we live in this place? And what about all the possessions that we carried with us for the journey? Things that we don't want to leave behind? Things that make us feel comfortable and secure in a new place? Maybe our hopes and dreams for the future? Or a need to do things the way that they've always been done. And some of these items that we're carrying, that we've been carrying, weigh us down and hold us up on our journey. And perhaps there are some of those things that we need to discard and start afresh. When it comes to church life, there are things that we hold on to, which perhaps we should lay down, as well as there being things that we definitely need to reinstate. And these could be traditions or activities. And there are some things we do because that's just the way it's always been done. And it may seem to us that those things are church, and we can't envision ever doing church differently. But we have done church differently. For this past year, we've done church differently, very differently. And as we begin to move forward, we need to take stock and reassess. And as I think and talk about church, I feel a need to define it. What do I mean when I speak about church? I think it's a double definition in a way. For me, the church is defined as the people who are part of God's kingdom joining together. But it's also the practices and traditions that have become ingrained within it and which can become quite cumbersome to carry forward. And as we enter this new place, we have the opportunity to redefine church. What does church represent to you? What does it mean to us collectively as a body? And what does it mean to those who are on the outside? Looking back at the early church in the passage that we read in Acts, we see how the church looked as it began. They had no traditions. That church was something new and vibrant because it was an expression of God at work through the power of the Holy Spirit. They developed a way of doing things, and they adopted some of the practices and traditions from the Jewish faith, which was, in effect, their foundation and history. But let's refer back to the passage and see what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. How does that seem for us? Are these things all still relevant to us today? Are they still important? Or have they taken a back seat in our thinking and our planning? I think that you will say, of course they are all still relevant. But what I'm asking is, would anyone from the outside know that they were relevant to us? Would anyone know from the way we behave that they are still relevant? How important are these practices to you? Those early Christians devoted themselves to these things, and their lives revolved around them. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. There were no Christian scriptures then. There were the Jewish scriptures, and there were the teachings of Jesus. The stories of what Jesus said and did that were passed on by those who lived alongside him and were witnesses to his deeds and his actions and his words. And that teaching was central to their faith, and it defined the direction of their travel. They were devoted to it. How devoted to it are you? They were devoted to the fellowship, to one another. And outsiders asked the questions about what love it was that they could see. They said, see how these Christians love one another. And the greatest gift that we have is love. And we are called to love one another. Are we loving to those both inside and outside the church? Do we exhibit a sacrificial love as the early church did, giving to one another not just out of what we have left over, but out of everything that we have? How devoted are you? They were devoted to the breaking of bread, an act which symbolizes our unity in salvation through Jesus. And they were devoted to prayer. How devoted to these things are we? How devoted are you? Oh, how we long to see once again the wonders and miraculous signs that were encountered then. And often we might ask ourselves why we don't. Perhaps it's because in our 21st century wisdom, we no longer experience that sense of awe which is mentioned in this passage. And we can all sit here and point the finger at someone else, at another church, at the way someone else is doing something or not doing something. But when I point the finger at someone else, there are three fingers that point back at me. You see, what it boils down to is that we are all simply a bunch of flawed individuals who love God and want to serve him because we are loved by him. And each one of us needs to come once again to that place of devotion, to a place of oneness with God through Jesus Christ. And the question then, as we begin to move forward, as we begin to move out of this COVID world, how now shall we live? I don't know about you, but I want to live in a way where I am more devoted to Jesus. And I'm struck by the words of a quotation attributed to William Perkey, because very often I worry too much about what other people might say and what other people might think. But I want to dance like no one is watching, and love like I've never been hurt, and sing like no one is listening, and live like it's heaven on earth. How now shall we live? Now, lots of questions here in my reflections, more questions than answers. And these are questions as much for me to grapple with as they are for you. These are the questions that we need to ponder as we begin to move forward, as we seek to determine how it is that God wants us to live, how he wants us to be his church, and how he wants us to be an expression of his love in this new place that we find ourselves.
Diana's spoken about us devoting ourselves to prayer, and we're going to spend some time in prayer now. One of the questions that we might often ask, and which people do ask, is why hasn't God answered my prayer? It's one that I've asked this week, and I came across a reflection that just brought me up short when I thought about this. It's called I Asked God. I asked for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity, and God gave me a body and a brain to work. I asked for courage, and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for patience, and God placed me in situations where I was forced to wait. I asked for love, and God gave me troubled people to help. I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted. I received everything I needed. There's a book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People by Harold Kushner, and he tells this little story. There's a little boy whose mum sends him to the shops, and he doesn't come back for a very long time. When he did return, his mum said, "Where have you been? I've been so worried." And he said, "On my way to the shops, I found a boy sitting on the footpath next to his bicycle, and his bicycle was broken and he was crying, so I helped him." "But you don't know how to mend a bicycle," his mum said. "You're too young, you're too little, and you just don't know what to do." "Oh, but I did. I helped him. I sat down beside him and I helped him to cry." And sometimes that's all we can do, isn't it, with our prayers, just sit and be with those who just need God's touch. So as we come to prayer now, let's do that as we bear each other's burdens and fulfill Christ's laws. I'm just going to mention some situations or thoughts and just leave a little period of silence for you to drop your own prayers into those spaces, for you to sit down and cry with people on your hearts. So let's pray. Lord, we pray for those who mourn, those we know here in our own church fellowship, those in the wider world, especially those in India at the minute. Lord, we bring to you those who are ill, who've been in and out of hospital this week, maybe because of an accident or an injury or a chronic ongoing condition that's flared up again. and for those whose illnesses we can't see, who on the outside look as if they should be fine, they should be coping, they should be okay, and yet inside they are not. Lord, would you just touch those? We think of those whom you've appointed to places of leadership. And at this time, we remember our royal family before you. We remember our government and those who oppose it. We think of those you've called to leadership in the wider church and in this, our church here. Lord, would you be there? Their guide. And we think of those who are just starting to re-enter life again, may finding their job is no longer there, maybe struggling to find a new job, maybe trying to balance the time spent working at home with requirements to go back to the office, or maybe finding that because there are no limits on their working day now, they're just working more and more on a computer screen. Those who are in school, school that's very different from how it was before in terms of exams, and university students too in a very different landscape. As we all take our steps back into the world, may we do so holding on to your hand. And so, Father, we just envision these prayers now being put in a bowl. Our words are poor and failing, but we know that your Spirit prays through us, prays for us, and that at the end times, all those prayers that we think have been unanswered are still in those bowls, rising like a fragrance to you. And so, Father, we pray, receive our prayers in your name. Amen. And Charlotte's going to just lead us in our final song of worship now. Thank you. just want to say a huge thank you to Charlotte and Sarah, who've just done so much work in keeping our worship going. And for David, I know, and Toby and Martin, our tech team at the back. And I don't do a lot of the tech, but I do enough to know just what an enormous faff and hassle it is. So just a big thank you to all of you who struggled with all that on our behalf. It is appreciated. Just like to pray my favourite blessing over us now, which has never seemed more appropriate than at this time. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you back rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you back rejoicing once again into our doors. Be blessed this week. Bye-bye.